Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. I appreciate all of you who took the time to press play. We're on back. It's a full month now, I guess, of weekly episodes, audio only on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. I've gotten some great responses, and just want to say thanks to all of you who support this show and support Katina Ministries. Today, I am recording in the studio with a first-time guest. If you don't know my dad and the uncles, as I'm recording this, and if you're listening to this when it comes out, they are not in the country right now. They're in Paris, France. They got invited to go out there and sing at a church that they've been to a couple of times in the past, or maybe once before. So they're not in town. Dad, uncles, if you're listening, bonjour. I hope you guys are enjoying your time eating some baguettes and doing all the Parisian things. But yeah, we're joined today by a first-time guest who I'm really excited to have on the show. I think our audience is going to enjoy hearing from him, and I'd like just to welcome him, Mr. Alex Vasquez. Alex, thank you for being here, man. Yeah,
of course. Thank you so much for having me. It's awesome.
I got your last name right, right?
You did.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, you got it right this time.
I know we've had some trouble. I won't name any names, but we've had some trouble with your last name, Alex Vasquez. As a first-time guest, I'd like to just give you a chance to kind of introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us who you are, where you're from, maybe how old you are, whatever you think is important. And then also how you know the Katina family. What's your connection with them?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so my name is Alex. I'm 25. So I'm from Salem, Oregon. I moved here to Tennessee back in August, so not even a full year yet. It's finally starting to heat up again, so that's awesome. Yeah. Super excited for the weather to be nice and not rainy and stormy all the time. But you know, I moved out here just to, on faith base, just to come out here and learn what ministry is and as a lifestyle, not just as something we say and do. But yeah, so that's why I kind of moved out here, which we'll talk more about later, I'm sure. But how I know the Katinas is I met them for the first time in August in person. So I know Jeremy Williams through another connection, which he's been on the show from Basic. But he told me about this thing called Love Squared, and just mentorship in a ministry-based way in high schools. And so I learned about it, kind of was on the edge about coming out. But so I moved out here. And so I now live with one of their sons, Boston. But yeah, so that's my connection with the Katinas. It's pretty short and broad. But man, it's been a blessing to have them here because their hospitality and their still love for me has changed a lot in my life.
Awesome, man. Well, I can tell you, you've been a blessing to our family just having you here. And hopefully they tell you, but if not, like the uncles and my dad, they have so much praise to give both you and Andrew, and it's really been a treat to have you here since August and for at least the next few months. We love having you here, and you've just been it's been a seamless integration into the family and into the team to have you here. And but yeah, so you're a what we call a Love Squared associate.
Yeah.
And I was really excited to have you on. We've had associates on the past before. And, you know, whenever the uncles are on the road, they'll be at a church, and the church will give them time to kind of talk about Love Squared. And usually they only have like 30 seconds to a minute and to tell people, you know, who we are and what we do. And but there's a lot of our listeners who maybe they've heard a talk like that from the stage for a minute, and but they, it's really hard to kind of get into the details of what Love Squared is, and specifically what a Love Squared associate is and does. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to just talk with you about your experience over the last several months. I want to start at the beginning. So you kind of made this connection with Basic, who's been on the show before, and Jeremy, who's also been on the show a few times. Maybe tell us, like, before Love Squared, like, where were you at in your life? What was Alex Vasquez doing out in Oregon before that led you up to making the decision, like, I'm going to move across the country to Tennessee?
Yeah. So it started, so back in Oregon, I was doing Young Life. I was on just a volunteer leader there for the high school I went to, just pouring into the high schoolers there. And I was pretty new to faith at that time as well. So I was really just learning about myself, but also learning how to lead in a godly way. Yeah. And Basic was a Young Life leader as well at a different high school, but we went to the same church. Him and I got baptized together, so we got close and became brothers at that point. And then Jeremy Williams, he came to Oregon to do like a little 4-day retreat of just like the Leadership Square and what they do here at Love Squared. And so I met him two Februarys ago, and really just got connected with him. And then that's when Basic started telling me more and more about Love Squared. And it was like, hey, like, I think this is something that you benefit from. And so at that time I was like, no, I'm not moving across country. Like, I've lived my whole life in Oregon, sure. And my family, my friends, like, that's all where they're at. And that's where I've always been. It was super comfortable there. And Jeremy, he would text me every once in a while, probably like once a week, just sending me like pictures or just like a little voice memo, like, hey, like, this is what's going on in my living room right now on a Monday night. Like, this could be you in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And send me the links to like sign up and just what Love Squared was all about. So that's what I was doing. I was doing that, playing sports, playing rugby, was on a rugby team back in Oregon as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. So I was just Basic on that and some of his cousins and playing rugby, which,
very cool.
Physical sport, but it's a lot of fun. Pretty muddy. But yeah, and then also just working at that time, I was working at a coffee shop as a barista. So I was just slinging beans and making people addicted to coffee. Nice.
So you finally decide, like, okay, somehow you got to the point where you're like, you said yes. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna leave the place that I've lived my whole life and go to the Dirty South and meet with these people I've never met before, yeah. And give basically a year of my life to this. I'd like to for you to share, what was your trip out here like? Because I remember hearing Alex is on his way, and yeah, just share what that was like for you.
Yeah, I remember the week leading up to leaving, to finally driving off and starting my journey. So it was about 2,600 miles of driving, 36 hours worth. And I woke up early. I just, the night before, I had a whole bunch of friends over and we had like a big dinner together and just kind of just said, our like, hey, like we prayed over a car, prayed over me, prayed over each other and just our relationships. Just at the time away would be fruitful. And I went to sleep, woke up the next day, like 5 a.m. and hit the road at like 6:30 a.m. I remember the first like 4 hours was like, it didn't really hit me. I was like, oh, I'm just taking a little road trip down the street, basically. And then it didn't really hit me until I got to Utah. So in the first day I went through Oregon, I went north. So I went on the board of Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and then ended in just outside Salt Lake City. But I stopped and got gas just when I got into Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that the moment, and it still like hits me a lot, where I took off the address here that for the house I was coming to over here and put back in my home address, and I was 9 hours away. Wow. Where I had make it back home in that day.
Yeah.
And it hit me. It was like, I could say no still and make it back home tonight and have dinner with my family. But I just kept pressing on. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, like, the reward for maybe possibly missing out on family things or friendship things for a year, like, yeah, that's gonna suck, and like missing certain things like holidays or and birthdays and other events, but the reward for what I will learn over that year will be there for a lifetime. But yeah, the rest of the drive was super smooth, no hiccups, which I was super happy. There's no major storms or accidents or anything like that, so it was pretty smooth. And got here in 3 days. Wow. 2 nights and 3 days.
So you did the whole drive on your own?
Yep, all by myself, with my car packed with all the essentials, you know, the Xbox and some clothes and
everything all the essentials you needed. Yeah. Well, we've had I think we had an associate before drive. He's from Southern Cal, but he didn't drive by himself. His brothers like drove with him and flew. And I always admire that's hard enough. Doing it on your own, though, is like, you gotta sleep. How'd you sleep?
Yeah, so the first night when I landed just outside Salt Lake City, I saw them fill my car up for gas, so I didn't have to worry about it in the morning. And there was a hotel right next to it. I can't remember. It was some bigger name hotel.
Okay.
And so I walked in. I was like, hey, like, I'm just here for the night. Like, how much is it for? And she's like, oh, let me check. And she's looking at his call like a minute or so. And she's like, be about $450 for one night. I was like,
my goodness.
I was going to sleep in my car. Dang. So I just moved everything to side, and like, I have a Subaru, so there's enough room back there. But I just closed all the doors, locked them, and I had some bungee cable, so I just like made sure the doors would not open. So I tried to get in, because I was like, I don't know where I'm at.
Yeah.
Covered all the windows and just went to sleep for those 2 nights just in my car. You know, I was like, you know, save some money, and who knows? It's a fun story to talk about. Like, yeah, I slept in my car going across the country.
I feel like I remember when you arrived at the office. I heard that you got in, and I came like the next morning, because you got there kind of later at night, didn't you?
Yeah, it was about 8 p.m. or so.
Yeah, and I was over there again the next morning, and I saw you, and I could just see fatigue on your face. I was like, man, this guy looks like he's been through it.
Yeah, I was definitely going through it. Yeah, that first night, I got back, and I was met with Jeremy in Boston. We're at the office, and they're like, oh, like, how's the trip? I was like, oh, it was great. You know, I'm glad I'm here. They're like, you know, we're sure you want some sleep. So, yeah, I took a great shower and then hit the bed. And it was probably some of the best sleep I've had.
Nice.
Like, that I could recall in a while, just sleeping in a bed and that comfort of, like, oh, I don't feel like there's another car next to me or someone just walking around.
Well, you earned that sleep. And so that was back in August. And I'd love for you to talk about just your time as an associate from August until now. I know there's a lot that has happened, but maybe share what's day to day look like for an associate first. Like, what are you actually doing? I want people to know, like, are you just kind of hanging out in Franklin, or what's your normal day look like for a Love Squared associate?
Yeah, so our, like, the easy explanation of that is, like, you know, we show up to the high schools that we're at. So I'm at Centennial High School and Independence High School. Those are the two schools I lead at. So Mondays, we have our Centennial group that night. So I'm going to get pizzas or wings and just getting stuff set up for that group, where we have about 20-ish guys on average. It's a little bit less right now just because baseball season's up and soccer, so those guys have their games going. So that's like what a Monday looks like. I work at a restaurant for catering, so I do that to fill that time in between. And then Tuesdays, again, I work in the morning. And then I have my independence group, which same thing. It's a little smaller. We have about, on average, about 10 guys. Mm-hmm. But again, getting pizzas and wings and just pouring into those students. And then on those off days where we don't have groups, it's going to practices, going to their games, their theater plays that they have, or whatever, like, things, the events they do, just showing up to their lives.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like the easy explanation, but really it's, we never know what's going to happen. Sure. You know, a student can call us, be like, hey, I'm going through this. Like, are you able to help out with whatever? Or having these deep conversations over Chick-fil-A or taking a walk somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that is a little bit hard to explain, just because you kind of just need to be there because those conversations that you have are super deep and personal. And there's a relationship building. It takes a lot of time to get to that point. But really the first step to that is just showing up, showing up in their lives.
I think back to my time as a young man, as just a student in high school. And, you know, it's easy to, from where I'm at now, to look at, you know, 15, 16, 17 year olds and think, man, your life is so easy. You don't have to worry about X, Y, and Z. And, it's easy for me to forget the challenges that come in that phase of life. And, you know, I wish that I had, you know, a guy maybe college age or mid-20s, someone like Alex, that I could call and say, hey, man, I don't know what I want to do after I graduate, or this girl is giving me problems or whatever. You know, those things are big issues when you're 15, 16. And I think that's the impact you can make on someone at that age is special, in my opinion. Like, it's hard to even quantify what those conversations are worth for them. And they probably don't even recognize it right now. But I think, you know, 5, 10, 20 years from now, those are things that they'll remember. I want to ask, like, at just like the basic groups on those Mondays and Tuesday nights, what kind of things are you guys talking about with the students?
Yeah, so we're geared towards leadership and building up young leaders to fulfill that God-given purpose that they've been created to do, to step into that role of being a leader and to make movements that without them that might not happen. So really, we dive into scripture. So the first couple months, it was adult leader based. So me, myself, Jeremy, or Andrew were all kind of leading the groups. But then now, once the guys kind of get a feel of that, we're like, hey, like, we're going to have you guys lead these groups now, and we're going to take a step back and really just let you guys talk about what God puts on your heart to the rest of the group. So we have these 15, 16, 17-year-olds talking about deep personal stuff with scripture to other kids their age. And then you just walk away like, wow, like, these kids are having great conversations and really, like, building each other up and understanding each other. And like, hey, like, I'm not alone in these problems and these challenges I face. You just see these connections being made where some guy share something and the whole group just stopped and everyone got up and just started hugging him and just like praying over him just in the middle of the group. And that's just a Monday for us, you know? But it takes that time of like us showing up and helping those guys, those young guys, just build that connection with each other. Like, this isn't our thing. This isn't a Love Square thing. This is just a godly movement that we're being able to be a part of. And seeing them be able to do that. And then now there's a group that started their own podcast. And now there's a group that's, they have their own Bible study on their own time at school during lunch. Wow. There's a group that prays together at lunch. Like, it's crazy. This is the movement that has where they just needed an extra little nudge in the back. Like, hey, like, you are a leader. Yeah. We see you as someone that's a leader. And now we want to help you believe that in yourself as well.
I think leadership, obviously, is one of the core values of Love Squared. And I'm curious, I don't know what your answer to this is, but I've thought about this in my own life. And I want to ask you, do you think everyone is called to be a leader?
I think everyone can be a leader in their own way. I think leadership has this misconception of like, you're the most outspoken person in a room or you always have everything figured out, which sometimes a leader is like, you need someone behind the scenes that's a leader for that and like make sure everything's set up properly to work. So those people that do have those strengths in talking and speaking and presenting can do that. So I think, yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. It depends on what you think a leader is in your own life. For me, for so long, I thought leader was someone that was like the loudest in the room, and like you walk in and like just has this glow about them, like, oh, that's someone that's a leader, which is true in some ways, but now being here, like, sometimes the greatest leaders are the ones that don't say that much, but they really just do lead by their actions. And they just really are just in the room, just scanning and just listening and taking everything in. And then they're able to use that. But I really think it's just how they use that information they gain and what they use, or how they use that in the future.
Yeah. God bless my parents. Something that has been spoken over me by my parents since I was young was, Josh, you're a leader. You're a leader. And I think young Josh, there was times where hearing that from my parents made me feel good, and I was built my confidence. But there was also times when, as a young man, I was told, Josh, you're a leader, you be a leader in this, be a leader in that. And there were times I didn't feel like a leader. There are times where I didn't feel like I was capable, or if I even wanted to be a leader in certain situations. And so leadership to me has been a journey of like learning kind of what you said. If I want to be a leader here, how do I do that? Does it mean being the loudest guy in the room? Does it mean being verbal about my leadership or whatever? Does it mean something else? And I feel like, I mean, I had heard this before, but someone who, he may not even remember this conversation, but Jeremy, one time, this was probably almost 6 years ago now, it was before my family and Katina Ministries went on a missions trip to American Samoa. We brought Jeremy in to kind of give us all a pep talk before, and he talked about what it meant to be a servant leader and to lead through our service. And I'm sure I had heard that before, but for whatever reason, when Jeremy was talking about it, really struck a chord with me. Like, I can be a leader the way Jesus was leading, by serving others. And that's the greatest form of leadership, is service. And so, and I know that that's kind of that's foundational to Love Squared and what we teach our associates and also our students, is service, is putting others before yourself. That's a form of leadership. And so, I think I hope to be a leader like that, who can, is willing to sacrifice for others. And I see that in you. And I don't necessarily see you as the loudest guy in the room. Maybe you are sometimes, but I do see you as a leader. And I think our students here in Williamson County are blessed to have someone like you just walking into their life, meeting them where they're at, and showing them what a leader can look like. I'll ask you, so since August, so it's been 7 months now, eight months. What, outside of your time pouring into the students, what have you learned for yourself? Like, how has the being associate impacted you?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is my own walk with the Lord, where there's been times where, you know, like, I haven't been the most prayerful in my word, and like, I try to go step into a life of student where it's like, I'm really just lean on myself and trying to tell them like how I think they should go about the situation that they might be going through. And when I'm in that state of mind, I'm just super anxious about trying to talk to them, not confident in myself. Why am I like this? Like, why am I not feeling confident in myself? And I remember, like, I didn't pray before I got here. I didn't pray like and ask the Lord to give me the Holy Spirit to talk through me to this teenager or in this situation. So it's really taught me just, I need to be in the Word. I need to be in prayer as much as I can. Not just when I feel like it, but in the times when I really don't feel like it, when I feel like, oh, I don't have an extra 15 minutes to read, or an extra couple minutes to pray. But like finding those areas where it's like, okay, I have time to pray now, like driving around Williamson County, picking up the food or while I'm at work, is a great time to pray, and just taking every moment to do that, because in the long run, it shows. Like in that moment, it's like, okay, I feel a little bit more relieved. But when you get put in a situation that you might not be ready for in that moment, God gives you those tools to be ready.
Yeah.
Which I've had to experience a couple times, but it's just been, I think that's the biggest thing, is learning how to really rely on the Lord and not myself.
Yeah.
Or other people. No.
I'm like you. I go through, it feels like I go through seasons where my prayer life is really strong, and then seasons where it's dry and it just does, it's not a priority for me. And I think one thing I've learned is that prayer really, I mean, it's just as much for myself as it is for the Lord. I know exactly what you mean when you say, when you're disciplined and committed to having a flourishing prayer life, there's fruit that comes from that, and that I don't think you can get any other way. And I'm happy that that's something that you've taken with you for yourself through this program. Let me ask you this. You may not have the answer to this, but I'm sure you've at least spent some time thinking about it. What's the future look like for you post associate, Love Squared associate, Alex Vasquez? What's the plan or the dream? Or if you don't have one, that's fine too.
Yeah. Yeah. The last couple of weeks has been like the forefront of kind of what we've been talking about at Love Squared, like in our meetings, just because the time with the program, it ends in the end of June. So it's coming up pretty quick. And after that, it's either I go back to Oregon or who knows, like wherever God calls me is like where I want to go. But I know for sure, like no matter where I'm at, whether it's here in Oregon and in somewhere else, a different state, I'm going to be pouring into lives of students. Mm. That's just what I feel like I've been called to do in this season of life. Just what I feel the most life doing is pouring into students. And, but yeah, for location wise, you know, that's what's up in there. Like I'd love to stay here in Tennessee. Like it's been great. The weather's great. There's great food here that I haven't had, that I haven't experienced. This is Southern food, and the Southern hospitality has been amazing too. Mm. Where, my biggest worry was like feeling homesick, the first couple months, which I got a little bit of for sure. Like just missing my mom, my sister, but, because of the Gatinas and just people I just would randomly run into at the store, like that I didn't know, like, hey, how's it going? I'll be like, oh, hey, like, I'm doing good. How are you? You know, but just like somewhere like that's easy to live is here. It's a little bit slower than back on the West Coast as well. And definitely not as much rain. It rains over there all the time. Just 5 days a week, you'll see gray clouds and rain. But, yeah.
Explain to me. So I grew up here, and Southern hospitality is something I hear about, and I think I know what it is, but I don't think I fully appreciate it, just because this is where I was born in Nashville. I've lived here my whole life, and I love hearing from people who aren't from here. Like, explain to me, like, what is it about the South, and what's different here than I guess back in Oregon?
Yeah, I think the first thing I noticed was like, just like I said, people at the grocery store or the gas station, wherever it is, like if you make eye contact, there's a chance you're gonna have a conversation with them, you know, where they're just like asking you how your day is going, or and just like the way people go out of their way to like help you, even if it's just to hold the door open or to make sure that if you're at a restaurant, like the servers are going like an extra mile, and just the way they talk to you is a lot different. And I feel like it's more just respectful and just like in a caring way. And I'm not sure where that comes from. I'm sure it's passed on, but on the West Coast, it's not that people are mean to each other, but it's a lot more like worrying about yourself before others. So I remember like there'd be times where I go to the store and like, I might not make eye contact with one person because you get your stuff and you go self-checkout and you don't see one person, you don't interact with anyone. And it's not the, and I think it's just a sense of like, it's just so fast over there. There's there's so much, like, what's the next thing I'm going to do? There's no time to really slow down. So it's like, we don't have time. You feel like you don't have time to have a conversation because you might miss out on something that you're supposed to be doing. So I think that's the biggest thing, where here it's a little bit slower, or at least feels that way. And people are just, they want to talk.
Interesting. Yeah. I always like, I just, I'm curious about how people, other people experience the South, but I guess I'll ask you one more question. And it's a question that I've asked many guests in the past. And just because I feel like it's a great way to get to know somebody. And but I want to ask you, what are you dreaming about right now? Like, what's your dream, that thing that you're maybe excited about or nervous about, or you have no idea if it's even possible? It could be 20 years from now or a year from now. I don't know. But what is that thing that you're dreaming about right now?
Yeah, I think my biggest dream that, I mean, I've had it for a while, but I mean, right now I'm single and I'm not even like, but my biggest dream is just to have a family one day. I mean, I grew up just with me and my mom. I've never met my dad at all. He was out of the picture before I was born. But I think that's my biggest dream is just to be a godly father and godly husband to my wife and to my kids, where I just didn't have that. So just learning every single day, just how to be a better person and someone that leans on Christ. Mm-hmm. So I think that's my biggest dream is just getting ready to have a family one day. But then also just learning more about myself. I think that's a dream that I have every day, that I just strive to, like, how can I be better than I was yesterday in my faith, in the way I talk to people, in the way I interact with, just with everything, just every aspect of my life. How can I be better? And then take steps towards that. And I think that's just been that's helped me a lot, just to feel more at ease and not feel stagnant in my own life with having those dreams. And I think it's great to dream big, have giant dreams that feel impossible, because that's when you have to rely on faith and prayer. And, like, you know, this dream might not happen in my eyes, but God makes ways.
Yeah. That's a beautiful dream, bro, and honorable. And I always tell the people this, however big you're dreaming right now, it's not big enough. You can always dream bigger, and you can never dream too big for God. So I see in you a person who is after God and who's after what the Lord has for him. And it's an honor to have you be a part of Love Squared and Katina Ministries for however long this season lasts. It's really a treat. So thank you for being here, man. And thank you for all that you do for Love Squared.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. And it's an honor to be here. And yeah, we're excited for the future.
Yeah, if we don't have you back on the show before this season's over, I hope you know that it's been a treat. But maybe we'll have you back on before you leave or before whatever is next comes. I'd love to do that. But thank you again, bro.
Of course.
Yeah. To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.